You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome back to Love's a Pitch, a podcast about putting yourself out there and hoping you don't regret it. I'm Carolyn Bergier, your host and pseudo matchmaker. For those of you who celebrate, I hope you had a good Valentine's Day and did something cute and gay. And for those of you who aren't into it, good for you, because it's ultimately a capitalist holiday with roots in Catholicism, and who needs that? I'm kind of indifferent to it. Some years I celebrate, some years I don't. But I did make plans because between the Great Salt Lake drying up at an alarming rate and the East Palestine chemical disaster, I thought, you know what? It might be nice to make plans on a cheesy night as a form of escapism. And that is okay. I also felt, I don't know if you guys felt this way, that there were so many more Instagram couples Valentine's Day posts than usual. And then I also love the couple reveal. I think that's always fun. People who I didn't know were in a relationship, you learn about it on Valentine's Day. So maybe it's good for something. I don't know. Ceci and I made plans with our platonic third, who will be on an upcoming episode. Don't you worry. Now, it's a good friend of ours who we travel with and hang out with a lot. She's one of my closest friends. And that's all to say that I think that we put so much emphasis on romantic love in our society and not enough focus on platonic love and friendships. And it's so important. And this past year and this upcoming year, I mean, going forward in general, I do want to focus a lot more on platonic love and my friendships, because those are just so important. I can't stress enough like how much it has changed my life for the better to put more focus. Like, I've always had a lot of friends, but I've also almost always have been in a relationship and just put so much energy into those romantic relationships that I feel like I neglected my friendships in that process, or didn't put the same like care and attention that I did with my romantic partners. And it's not hard to fix that, right? We all have the capacity to do both, to show our romantic partners and our platonic friends love and care and all those wonderful things that ultimately make our lives better and make the world a better place. Kumbaya, y'all. Okay, I think I'm spiraling, but when I was out to dinner with Ceci and our friend, she had listened to the first couple of episodes of this podcast, and I was telling her about the upcoming guests, and she said, "You can't have all of your guests be comedians." And it's true. I cannot. I do have a lot of comedians in this first batch of episodes. I mean, first, I want to get people who are comfortable talking on a podcast, who I know like the attention and would be okay with being the first guest on this new podcast. And a lot of my friends are comedians. So that's who I, you know, naturally tapped into for this. But I do want you all to know that we will be having non-comedians on. Don't you worry. There are going to be all sorts of guests in the future. This was just a starting point for me. But my goal is to get people from all sorts of walks of life, from all over the world, as long as they're not cis and straight, because they don't want my help. They don't. They don't need it. They don't want it. It's fine. Okay, before we get into today's pitch, I am kindly asking you to please head over to Apple Podcasts and or Spotify and rate this 5 stars. Give a review if you're feeling generous. Also, tell your friends about this podcast if you've been enjoying it. And I'm going to be adding a new benefit to joining the Patreon. So patreon.com/lovesapitch. At a certain tier, if you join, I thought it would be fun to add at the end of these episodes a 1 minute pitch from people. So you can go on, give your 1 minute pitch, and then I'll tag it on to the end of one of these episodes. It will link out to your Instagram or however you want people to contact you. We won't do a full interview. So this is for people who want to put themselves out there, but not so out there, that don't want to be grilled by me on this here podcast. So maybe we'll have some fun with that. The more the merrier, right? I'm just trying to get as many people connected as possible. Starting with this week's guest, I met her on the comedy scene and immediately wanted to get to know her better. She's since moved to LA, so it was so nice to catch up and talk about her dating life. All right, I'm so excited. Today we have Gina Bloom from Los Angeles. How are you doing, Gina?
Hi. Yeah, I'm okay. Thank you for having me on today.
Yeah, full disclosure, Gina and I know each other from comedy.
Yes, back in the day, back in my New York days.
I know. I miss you so much. It was always so nice running into Gina on the scene. And, you know, part of the reason why I pick people sometimes to be a guest on a podcast is just, it's a good excuse to catch up. But we're going to catch up and talk about dating and love and all sorts of things that we normally don't talk about with each other, because we're always just talking comedy.
We're talking about comedy and ambition and, like, because we're sociopaths like that. It's like, how's your day? Well, my day is that I don't have an agent. And
yeah.
that's our day.
I mean, let's just get into your pitch. You have 1 to 2 minutes to sell your goods to the listeners starting now.
All right. I think you should date me. Why should you date me? Because I'm fucking cool. That's why. And I have a minute and 40 seconds left. Hey, listen, I am an adult woman with a job and a lot of independence, and dating me is fun. Here's why. I don't like people sleeping over in my bed. You will have freedom to go to your bed or place of, you know, your preference that isn't my bed or me in your bed. And you get that free without feeling guilty about it. And I'm very supportive. I'm a nice lady and I support people's endeavors, whatever they are, especially when they don't conflict with mine. So as long as you're not a comedian or a television writer with a better career than me, I think we'll be great together. That's a slight joke. If it's significantly better than me, then you can probably help my career. Then we can definitely talk. I'm also kidding, but
I was gonna say, yeah.
As long as you're not just a little bit better than me, then that's annoying. But otherwise, no. I live in Los Angeles. I have my own place. I do get to New York quite a bit. I also get to San Francisco quite a bit. So if you're in any of those cities and you want to hang and have fun with a fun lady, you let me know. I'm open to all sorts of people, however they express themselves and whatever they choose to be with. I am open to that. And yeah, there you go. That's about 2 minutes. Let's do it.
That's great. Well, I've got to ask, why don't you like people sleeping in your bed?
I'm a very light sleeper. I just find that sleeping together, I mean, and if you like to do it, and if you're with someone that likes to do it, that's fine. But I find, and I was with someone about a year ago. I dated this guy for like a year ago. And his whole thing, and it kind of crystallized it for me, was that in order for him to feel like we were proceeding in our relationship, that we needed to start spending the night over at each other's places. And I was very hesitant about that, not because I didn't like him, but because I just like my own space. Like I said, I'm a light sleeper. I get a lot of like inspiration at night for like creative stuff. So I'll wake up and I'll just start writing shit down. And I keep weird hours because I do a lot of my creativity at night. So I'll be up sometimes at 2 and 3 in the morning writing, and then I'll get to bed. So like my schedule's all over the place. Being in comedy, that this is kind of a normal thing, but mostly I just kind of like having a measure of independence and solitude. I've always been that way. I have this room. I have a 2-bedroom apartment. I live by myself, and I built a room just for writing. I have my bedroom is just for sleeping. My living room is just for watching TV, and my dining room is just for eating. Like I like having spaces that I can just enjoy for their own particular purpose. And I want to sleep. Right. I want to sleep. We can have fun. We can have sex, and then you can go home or I can go home. And if we happen to be like doing a long distance thing, and there's not really another option, then sure, we can sleep together in that situation. I'm not a psycho, but I just don't prefer it. I don't want to do it every night for the next 45 years.
Yeah, I think that's something that people don't talk about enough, because I think a lot of people are also probably in that same boat that also, like, if you are a light sleeper, if you're not getting good night's sleep, you're not at your best. And wouldn't you rather, in your waking hours, give somebody like the not cranky version of you, then have a horrible night sleep and kind of be resentful that that other person, you know, sweats or snores or kicks or whatever.
And I agree. And like, I understand people have quirks, and I'm very forgiving of that. And I'm very open to like people just being themselves. And like that sleeping together thing is just a thing of mine. It's not a red line. We can sleep together sometimes, but I don't want to make it a lifetime commitment of us, you know, sleeping in the same bed for as long as we're together. And I think that, and it's indicative of this is like how I like to operate in general. I'm very independent. I can be with someone and we can just not see each other for like a few weeks, and that's okay. And we don't have to be exclusive, but you know, if I'm the primary, then I'm the primary, and that's fine too. I guess you could say I'm poly, but I'm too lazy to date more than one person. So I'm almost too lazy to date one person, and right, to have like 2 or 3 people is like, that's a lot of effort for me. So you get like the like bonus of, if you're a poly type person, you get the bonus of having a poly person to be in a relationship. So you can go and do your thing as long as we're like,
yeah.
Consensual, and just know that I won't feel jealous because I ain't got the energy for that shit.
Yeah.
So there you
Which
go.
Is a lot of energy. It's a lot of energy.
I think so. So there you go. Date me for that reason.
I love that, because when we first started talking, I said, you know, I reached out to you. I wasn't sure if you were looking, and you're like, well, looking, that's a pretty strong word for.
Yeah. Looking is a strong word for me right now. I feel very like George Costanza-esque in the way that I live my life.
I love that.
I like to think that I'm a little more put together than he is, but like I feel Costanza-esque in the way that I live my life. I'm happy for the things that come up to some degree. I won't stop complaining because that's just how I am. But like, I also know that this is who I am, and I shouldn't plan for anything more than, you know, what I can personally accomplish.
I mean, it sounds like you're very content with being single.
I'm so content.
That's
Look,
great.
I'm old. I'm way old. But I've spent as a human being that's been on this earth for closing in on 30 years now, I've spent 4 years out of my entire life living alone. And that's not a lot of time. That's 4 years total out of my entire life. I'm cool with being alone. This is great. I love it. This is awesome. I purposely got a 2-bedroom apartment just so I wouldn't spend too much time in any one given room, because like, almost spread out.
I think that that is one of the most admirable qualities when looking for someone or dating someone, is finding somebody who is content with being single.
Yeah.
And that, because then you know that they're not just clinging on to you because they have some type of issue, or like, I mean, I used to be a serial monogamist, and like in the past I would try to be single for extended periods of time, and then I would just like, I couldn't do it. I would just spiral. I felt like adrift without being in a relationship. And I'm very aware that that's not a healthy thing.
No. And I was the same way. And like, I would live with people and I would be together with people and I'd date people just because I didn't know how to be alone. And I think a lot of people went through shit in the pandemic, right? Like we had a lot of time to reflect. And I had a roommate for like the first half of the pandemic, and it was fine. She was fine. I've known her since college. But being, you know, living with someone, you know, platonically stuck indoors with someone for, you know, every day for a year plus, I was like, I'm ready to get out on my own. Like, I'm ready for this. I'm ready to finally be alone for real. And then I found that I loved it. And then I, you know, I just think that I'm like Fran Lebowitz of L.A. I'm just gonna I'm gonna say shitty things and like,
oh, I love that. L.A. does need a Fran Lebowitz desperately. And it should be you.
It should be me. So there you go. And just like Fran, I am a writer who doesn't write. So there you go.
I love that. So I get it wasn't until the pandemic that you felt like you really had a sense of like, I'm going to be okay. Like, I want to know how you get from being somebody who is like serial monogamous or always feeling like they need to be anchored to someone to like freeing yourself from that. What's the...
Yeah, I think it's like, it's a little more complicated than that. You know, I'm this very traditional Catholic family, and like four or five kids, and like I'm in the middle, and like two of them had already gotten married. And my mother was, you know, when are you going to get married? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm also trans. So there was this whole like gender presentation thing going on that, you know, I was in these relationships for, you know, a good chunk of my life, not even in the correct relationship with my own body. And then I ended up, you know, going through this very toxic relationship for, you know, more than 5 years. And the end of that relationship sort of put me on the journey that I'm on now. I transitioned after it. I got out of the South, moved to New York City, met Carolyn, you know, all the big things that happen in one's life, started appearing on podcasts. But during not any part of that time, except for maybe a brief period when my roommate got engaged in New York. I had maybe 6-7 months of like, and like my life wasn't really all that different. Freedom, like solitude in New York, but like I was also doing a lot of comedy. So I was hardly ever home. It wasn't until the pandemic did I start to realize that, you know, as happy as I was finally living honestly, that it still wasn't enough. Like there were still things about me that I needed to change. Even though I went through the big stuff, I got out of a cycle of like toxic relationships, I transitioned, I did all the things that I thought were my problems. And then I found that once I dug through all those problems, I had other problems. I was like, well, you can't be alone. Why can't you be alone? Maybe you want to be alone. And then I was like, no, being alone's fucking rad. I love this. So there you go. And the pandemic sort of crystallized that for me. The pandemic made me want to be alone. Maybe want to try being alone. And it sort of rekindled my life, my love of like writing and doing the things that I enjoyed since I was, you know, 9 and 10 years old that I thought I had to give up because I had transitioned, and, you know, here I am.
That's so funny because I feel like a lot of people had the opposite reaction to the pandemic. Like they realized their need to be around people more, like, oh, I spend too much time alone.
Right.
Let me do the opposite. I mean, for me too, like I came out of the pandemic and like my wife and I became like these party people, just like going out like every weekend as soon as it was safe or felt safe-ish to do so.
And like that's true. Like I'm very social now. I'm probably more social now that I don't have like, that I'm not like constantly partnered. Like I love going out. I love hanging out with friends. I love getting out of my house. I go to the gym. I work out a lot, you know, not here, but, you know, in a public sphere, which I never thought I'd do as a trans person because I was too fucking self-conscious about that. And like being alone living alone and having, you know, sort of a laissez-faire approach to relationships actually freed me up to be more social. Because I, you know, before I would get in relationships and I would be in this little like unit of two and we'd never go anywhere.
Right.
So actually dating, living with someone made me more lonely. Now I'm out and I like to socialize.
Do you feel like you have a sense of who your ideal partner would be?
My ideal partner would be someone who's enough like me to not be, you know, turned off by my sort of like no pressure lifestyle, right? At least not right now. I mean, that might change. Who knows? But also different enough so that, because I don't really want to date myself. I would find that boring. I would find that really irritating. So like someone who feels has the same sort of core values, you know, prioritizing their freedom, prioritizing the ability to determine their own path, prioritizing, I hesitate to use the word adult because it places judgment on people who don't choose to relate like I do. But having the type of like trust in your partner that allows them to have a, you know, a higher degree of freedom than like what is traditional. Mm-hmm. But also someone who has completely different interests than me. Like I love artists, but I'm not a big fan of comedians to date them. I'm not a big fan of like screenwriters to date them. Not because I'm jealous, but because, you know, I have those interests already and I talk to someone that does the same thing I do every day was like talking to myself.
Have you dated a comedian before?
Yeah. And that, you know, that can be fine. Like, again, I'm not like shutting the door on that, but like I prefer people who are creative in ways that I don't, but I am not, like musicians and dancers and things like that, because I don't have that ability. And that's fun to be around that. It's fun to be inspired, you know, creatively, laterally. That's what I like. I don't want to be like sort of directly like inspired by someone. I want them to do their own thing and me to be like, that's cool. I should do a version of that, but in my own way.
So you find you're drawn to creative people, other creative people?
I'm definitely drawn to other creative people. I don't think that's uncommon with creatives because we live like very, you know, very unconventional lives, and like people who are like farmers or, you know, hardcore engineers that have these very strict timetables. It's hard to be compatible with that. Again, maybe a hot farmer. I'd be down with that. They have their own house.
My ex was an engineer. And when I started comedy, that was kind of like the beginning of the end of the marriage because they couldn't understand it, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I'm also an engineer in IT.
Right.
As like my day job, which is so weird because I accidentally got good at it through no level of effort on my own.
Are you still working the job that you got where you had worked for the company previously?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm still working there.
Can you just quickly tell that story? I know it's not related to like what you're looking for, but it's one of my favorite things.
It is because, you know, it relates to, you know, where I'm at right now. So years ago, I was living in LA and I got my first tech job and it was like my day job, right? Like we all get in, you know, those of us in entertainment, we end up working a day job. And I sort of talked my way into getting this day job in tech. And I literally started working in the mailroom and they just started giving me things to do because I was very early in like the startup. And they found, to everyone's surprise, especially my own, that I could do all of these things. So I ended up at the conclusion of about 4 years in like various positions of responsibility. I was looking after high-end clients. I was doing very technical stuff. And I had, you know, zero training whatsoever in ability to do any of this. And then, again, I was untransitioned at the time. I moved in with someone who was very, very clingy. And this person wanted me to move across the country with them. And I did. And this relationship was very toxic. And I ended up sort of not able to do the job anymore because it took up so much of my time sort of managing this relationship of mine that my work suffered. And this company fired me. And then that relationship sort of petered out over the next couple of years, various ups and downs. I ended up leaving that relationship. I got a job in New York City. I transitioned. I started doing comedy. And then about 4 years later, I was feeling like I wanted to go back to Los Angeles because I had never been Gina Bloom in LA. I'd never been the real me in Los Angeles. I've always been this other person. And I love Los Angeles. It's like my favorite place in the world to be. It's why I'm there now. but Los Angeles never got to know me. So I was already looking for a way back, and I ended up getting laid off from my job in New York. And I was ecstatic because it was this healthy severance package, and I wanted to get back to LA anyway. So I bought a car and I hopped in it and I drove back to Los Angeles and I moved in with my roommate, the same roommate that, you know, I lived with during the pandemic that sort of inspired me to try living alone. And I went through the money very quickly and I needed to find work faster than I thought. So I started applying for everything under the sun. And I saw that the company that had fired me way back when was looking for people. And I just sort of jokingly applied for the job. And then they called me in for an interview. And I sat for like 7 or 8 interviews with people that I had known the first time I worked there. But because I had transitioned in the meantime, they didn't remember who I was or recognize me. So I ended up just having interviews with people that were treating me like I was a brand new human being they'd never met before. And even though that the name of the company appeared on my resume, they would still be like, when did you work here? I don't remember you. They ended up finding out, of course. And like my ex-boss that had fired me originally, you know, 7 years prior, had expressed like a lot of hesitancy, you know, hiring me back, even though I had transitioned. Like, he still didn't believe that I would be worth it. So I had to tell them all about this relationship and everything that had happened. And my boss ended up taking, you know, a gamble on me and hired me. And then I ended up working at this company that had fired me as a guy. Now, as a lady, I got rehired and they gave me like a 90% raise somehow. Somehow I talked my way into twice as much money. So there you go. And I still work there. I don't know how long that's going to last. You know, there's a lot of problems in tech right now. There's a lot of layoffs going on. So I may end up leaving eventually, sooner rather than later, but I'm still there now as of this taping.
Could you ever, I know this seems like a hard pivot, but where my mind went was like tech jobs, benefits, because my wife works in tech and I benefit. Would you ever consider marriage? Is that something that's...
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah? You're open to?
I'm definitely open to marriage. Okay. I'm open to having kids too. And I know that sounds weird given what I just described, but like, I never said that this is how I want to live my life for the rest of my life.
Right.
I doubt I'll ever really want to sleep in someone's bed because that's just physically fucking hard for me to do. but that doesn't mean that I don't want to like eventually maybe get married and, you know, adopt some kids or whatever.
Yeah.
No, I lived a lot of life. I lived a lot of lives, period, at this point in my life. And I feel that like being like a little restrictive in my thoughts is just selling myself short. So I'm open to all kinds of outcomes. As a where I'm at right now, am I desperate to get partnered and start a family? No, I'm not. But I think if someone that feels the same way I do wants to like just see what happens, and then we mutually decide that, hey, we're pretty fucking amazing together, and maybe we do want to move to a farmhouse and raise, you know, 5 different kids of, you know, from various nations like Angelina Jolie, then yeah, we'll do it.
I love that.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Are you somebody that's into like casual connections as well?
Yeah, casual stuff is fine. I find that it's all about a vibe, right? Like I have like this casual hookup that I haven't actually hooked up with him in quite a while because he's so thirsty about it. And I haven't told him. He just stays that way. And he does no relationship. He obviously doesn't want one. And I'm not in any, you know, any need to try and like change someone's mind about that. But like anytime I express any sort of minor horniness on social media or whatever, he's immediately there. And it's just so gross. But yeah, casual is cool. Just don't be lame about it.
Yeah. Is that a turnoff for you?
Yeah, being lame. But there's also like, yeah, that, but there's also like that other form of lameness where you got like the hardcore ethical non-monogamy guy that's like, hey, you know. Where he's so, or she, I suppose. It's usually men that are like this, where they're so into it that it feels like it's they turned like sex into some weird bro hobby. For them, sex is like Bitcoin trading or something. Like they've gone way deep into the terminology and they're keeping spreadsheets. Like, no, not for me either.
Yeah.
I find that, and this is just my experience. And this should be no shock to anyone. I find that it's very easy to find male partners in general, but it's very hard to find male partners that will take me seriously. And it's a lot harder to find female partners or non-binary partners, but those partners generally take me seriously. My pattern is to date and hook up with a lot of dudes, but my relationships tend to be more feminine people.
Are you on the apps at all or...
I'm on the apps, yeah.
Even though you're not looking, so you're just kind of passive, like if something comes up.
Yeah, I'm on, you know, I'm on the like the sort of like the relationship-y apps like Hinge and, you know, Bumble. And I have a field account when I'm just looking to get a little quicker. Then I have a Grindr account when I even quicker still. So Raya, I'm not on there yet, but I got a couple recommendations. So hopefully I'll get on there soon and start fucking weird celebrities. Whatever. It's all good.
You know, I only hear bad things about Raya because I kind of was curious about getting on it and people are like, no, it's just like...
I feel it's more for the bits, you know? It feels like for us, it's like for the material. Like, I wouldn't take it seriously, but like, as like a thing to like draw material from, yeah. Beautiful.
Maybe it's better in LA than in New York. I think I mostly have talked to people in New York about it and they're like, there's... nobody that you would even know on it. Like you're not seeing like Kristen Stewart on it or, you know.
No, there's real celebrities. I mean, they're not like the Kristen Stewart level. I do think that I want to say Ruby Rose has been on a lot of people's
I've heard
lives.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
Her and Mara Wilson.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that one. Yeah.
That made me, I think those were the two that made me curious of like, ooh, who else? And because I feel like I'm ooh. So,
yeah, well,
I'm so
right.
on the weeds in like queer culture in general, that if somebody mm-hmm. was like, you know, on an episode of Chopped, I'd be like, oh yeah, I know that lesbian from that episode of Chopped.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I find that, you know, as we age, that we get a little less connected to the pop culture zeitgeist, and you know our versions of, you know, fuckable celebrities change.
Who are your celebrity crushes
as of right now? Man, that's a tough one. The Chef Reacts guy on TikTok, he could get it. See this guy?
No, I'm the Chef Reacts. Just not on TikTok.
Yeah, I don't post on it, but like when I'm on the toilet, I like to flip through it. He's this, I don't know how good of a cook he is, but he's this cranky and he roasts other people's cooking videos.
All right.
And then at the end, he's like, yeah, I'd eat it. Even though it's complete trash. He's like, yeah, I'm a piece of shit. I'd eat that. I think he and I could have some fun. I think I like that attitude. He's both judgy and also very aware of his own shittiness. So I think that would be great. Let's see here. Who else? It's tough. Like, there's a lot, but there's also not a lot. Like, there's, you know, long-term crushes like Mary Louise Parker would absolutely go for that. But like, you know, the problem with celebrities is that you never know which one of them is an anti-vaxxer. You never know which one of them has like weird opinions on things that you don't want to know about.
Which one's going to try to recruit you into Scientology?
Yeah. Especially out here. There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
Right. Which one is like super anti-Semitic and just won't tell anybody until they get them alone. Yeah. It's just a lot of weird shit out there.
Right. Do you have any like big regrets from past relationships, like with all of the things that you've learned in life looking back? Are you ever like, oh, you know, I wish I had done that one thing differently?
In general, I wish I'd been more honest with, you know, who I was. Obviously, I had a lot of relationships pre-transition that I had known that I was trans during, and those relationships didn't work out, obviously. And I think a lot of the times, you know, the people I was with didn't really understand why. They just knew that something didn't quite connect with us. So, and I mean, that's a general sort of like life regret, not transitioning sooner. Like I had lots of opportunities to do so. I didn't feel like I wanted to risk it when I was younger. And I didn't feel like I wanted to risk it until I literally lost almost everything in my life anyway. So like, I'm very cowardly in that way. Like, I'd already fucked up my entire life. Might as well transition at that point. I already lost all my money and like every, you know, my relationship had already gone downhill and I'd already lost my job. So like, what else do I have to lose at this point? So I wish I hadn't waited until I had nothing else to lose before I did this, because my life improved so dramatically afterwards. I think since transition, this new life, I think that in my relationships, I've been sort of like inconsistent. Early on in transition, I was very clingy. I was very neurotic about whether or not people liked me, whether or not people found me attractive, whether or not they were, you know, they liked me as a friend even. And then, you know, after a certain point and I just sort of gained my confidence, I think I kind of went too far in the other direction. And I think I may come across that way still now, just sort of thinking about how I've talked during this interview.
Stop.
I'm like kind of an asshole.
No.
I'm like, yeah, maybe. But like I'm coming across like, yeah, you can do whatever you want. I'll do whatever I want. And if you don't like it, then fuck off. Get out of my bed. But like,
I think you come across as like refreshingly sure of yourself. It's so admirable to hear you kind of just, yeah, take your experience and be like grounded in yourself and know who you are and what you want while still being open to possibilities that are out there. You seem very like malleable mm-hmm. to whatever situations arise.
Yeah.
And that just seems like a very healthy place to be.
If it weren't for the day job, this is what my day would be like. I would wake up some point in the morning, sometime between 8:30 and 11, depending on how I slept the night before. And I would, you know, go grab a coffee and like read a book in a park, maybe go to an art museum. My days, I like to spend sort of on my own and either write or create or just, or be in art and be in nature. And I don't mind if people, like, I'm not so, like, hermetic that people can't be around me during those times. But, like, I'm also okay with going to movies alone. I'm also okay with going to the museum alone. And that's, and I like that. I find, and it's not that I'm okay with it. It's like, I actually enjoy it. So, like, my day would be spent, you know, sort of, like, finding my bliss. And then at night, that's when I want to be social. Yeah, sure. Like, I'll go to lunch and do things like that and be around people during the day. I mean, nothing is like so like set in stone, but like at night, you know, I like going to dinner parties. I'm basically Fran Lebowitz. If you can be with Fran Lebowitz, just be with me. I'm younger. I'm probably a better lay. So there you go.
Have you done the artist's way when you talk about like going to museums and stuff on your own? That makes me think of like artist dates.
Yeah, I haven't done that. I sort of learned this from reading David Lynch and like watching his stuff about his creative process. I'm kind of two minds with of his work as an artist. Like some of it is really amazing and some of it is like not my thing at all. He gets a little too far up his own ass, but I really love his process artistically. I do understand that I haven't read The Artist's Way, but I do realize and I have heard enough about it that, you know, it's very similar to the sort of life I've given myself. I think I can just get out from under this day job. I would just live the art life every day and be happy with it. And then also have, you know, weird, amazing sex with people at night. And sometimes they can sleep over, but not every night.
When you say weird and amazing sex, are you into weird stuff?
Yeah, some, I don't know. I mean, people, what do you consider weird? People say someone's definition of weird is a lot different than what I might define as weird. I was hooking up with this sex blogger. He kind of disappeared. He was one of those E&M guys that I don't know if he was completely ethical about it. But, and he was great. I mean, this guy could do everything. And he was pretty cute. And he was, you know, he was a good hang, too. You know, he lived in L.A. and I think he's an L.A. native. And so we knew a lot of the same, you know, places to hang out. And then he would do stuff, you know, sexually that sort of pushed me to the edge of what I found acceptable. Mm-hmm. And it was fun, you know. He was rough. He was dominant. He was a bit rough. I'm not necessarily always submissive, but, you know, in that case, I bowed to his expertise and let him, you know, lead the way. I think that when I just sort of like casually say weird sex, it's just because being like a queer person, like relative to the rest of America, everything I do is a little weird. Like we're always a little weird compared to like people in Minnesota, straight people in Minnesota. Right.
That's fair. Yeah. That's why I wanted to ask about it, because I'm like, weird can mean so many things to so many people.
Yeah. It can mean a lot. Yeah. I'm not big into like hierarchy and not, I don't like, because it starts to come across like Dungeons and Dragons after a while, calling someone master or mistress. Like that's just really campy to me in a way that I don't find sexy. Hierarchical play is not really my thing, but you know, stuff gets a little rough. That's fun. That can be fun. Not so much into role play just because it's just my like naturally skeptical countenance. Like, oh, really? Oh, you're a crossing guard, really? That's what you are. Like, you gotta be really convincing for me to be into it.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I feel like maybe part of it is because performing has a very like specific place in my life. Mm-hmm. That like the bedroom is not somewhere where I feel like I want to be performative.
Yeah, I agree. I hadn't thought of that, but that's very true. Because we perform all the time, and like as comedians, like we're performing honesty and relatability. Right. Okay. So it's like this double head fuck for us. We don't want to perform. We definitely don't want people not being themselves because we perform ourselves all the time.
Yeah. What would you say is one of your biggest challenges right now in terms of dating and meeting people?
Motivation.
Yeah.
Huge problem for me. Like I'll go and like I'll pick up one of the apps and I'll just start flipping through it and I'll find someone that I like. And, you know, they'll message me and it won't be gross and it'll be, you know, charming and personable. And I'll still not respond because I'm like, well, I don't want to respond to this person right now because I'm going to be driving to San Francisco on Saturday. So like, this is exactly what's going on in my head right now as I speak. So I am driving to San Francisco on Saturday. So I'm like, I'm not even going to bother responding to app messages until I get back from San Francisco, because why would I do that? Why would I talk to someone and then drive out of town for 4 days? That's dumb. So like, I'm literally like putting my life on hold for, you know, for the next like week and a half because I'm going somewhere. I'm going somewhere that's not even far away. And yeah, I'm not motivated. Motivation has always been my problem. It's been especially my problem lately. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that I am in a very good place creatively. And I'll just end up doing that instead of dating, instead of looking for someone. I'll just be like, okay, well, I can just do this and I'm already here. my laptop is 3 feet away, so let me just do that instead. And I don't want to be obsessive, right? Like, I don't want to just, you know, create all day long and just be a weirdo that sits in an apartment and like cranks out script pages, you know, 24 hours a day. Like, I do like people and I do like having sex. So yeah, just motivation.
Well, then if somebody is interested in you, and not that you have to show all your cards, but like, what's something that someone can do to really, you know, get you on the hook?
If someone really wants to get me on the hook, it's not about being so forward that you're immediately betraying your like interest in me romantically or sexually, but it's at least showing like some kind of initiative, because I'm so not there right now. So like when I'm dating like a feminine person, this is also part of being trans. When I'm dating a feminine person, a lot of them wait for me to make the first move, like wait for me to ask them out and find a place to date, because, you know, because I kind of put off like an energy, even though I'm very feminine, I do put off an energy of like, I am very like, like I'm very organized and I'm very in control. So like they kind of like peel back and let me take control. So for feminine people, if they can take a little bit of the, you know, of the control and just say, hey, let's get together and have dinner. There's a certain like level of like relief on my part that's like, that's awesome. Yes, I'll do that. Even if it's not like a romantic date, I'll still want to go. And for masculine people, it's like the opposite, because masculine people are so aggressive that I'm always on guard. So if they just express like an interest in me, and that's beyond sexual, and then just let me decide, you know, when we can make it happen, that's cool. And if you're sort of in the middle of that gender presentation, just, I don't know, we'll work it out. I'm very easy to please. I'm not hard to please. I just like a little bit of initiative, but not so much that it's off-putting. And I say that not because I'm trying to like stereotype gender presentations, but I'm just saying that experientially, feminine people are less inclined to take the initiative, and masculine people are more inclined to take the initiative. And I like having just enough initiative to understand that this person's interested in me as a human being, not just as sex, but also set that intention very clearly and then let me figure out, you know, how I want to come to that point, how I want to meet them.
Are you into astrology at all?
Not really, but I am a Capricorn, so that's very much a Capricorn.
Yeah, I'm a Capricorn too, double cap. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
So I get that. I think I forgot that you were a Capricorn. I feel like so many of my favorite comedians are Capricorns. Like when it's Capricorn season, I'm just like, happy birthday to all these people I love and respect so
I've got you for too. Yeah. I think it's because we never use Facebook anymore, so we never get birthday notifications. It's the only way I ever knew my friends' birthdays.
Right. If you're not into astrology that much, you're not like, oh, I won't date this sign or anything like that. I feel like the queer community tries to force that on us.
Yeah. And like, I tend to be like someone who sort of like is naturally skeptical of dogma anyway. And, this, you know, even within like an alternative community, once too many queer people start saying something, then it's like, maybe that's not the way it is. And I feel that way about astrology. It's like so many people are into it, and yet their lives are also disasters, that I think they've disproven the point.
I honestly think it's just like we've all shunned religion, but like religion did fulfill some type of thing, and we all want to cling to some type of belief that explains the insanity that is the human experience.
Exactly. If there's not some cis white heterosexual on a cloud somewhere telling us what to do, then it must be, you know, a star chart that dictates us.
Right. Well, I think we got some pretty good information about you out there in terms of, you know, what you're looking for. Like, you've put some of that out there, but specifically, who should reach out to you? Like, do you have an age range? Is it LA only? Are you open to like New York and San Francisco cuties? What's going on?
I'm open to cuties really anywhere. Just know that I do live in Los Angeles, so there is just like generally like a sort of de facto priority for people who are close. I do get to New York a lot, and I do get to San Francisco quite a bit as well. So, you know, there's a lot of like crossover there. I'm open to, you know, genders and different presentations, age range, be in your 30s to, you know, some number that is close to me, like, I don't know, 55, 60 even. That's a pretty wide range. Like I said, I'm old, and I don't like to like think about age too much, but not in a way that is like gross. Like, I'm not like, age is just a number. Like, no, there's something to be said for experience and your brain forming. But like, if you're a 30-year-old that's been through shit and has seen life, hit me up. And if you're a young at heart 50-year-old, hit me up. It's all good.
Love that. How do you feel about people coming to your comedy shows?
Oh, I love it.
All right.
Come on down. I enjoy it. I'm always enjoy, you know, meeting people.
Should people get in touch with you? Do you want them to slide into your DMs on Instagram? What's the best way?
Instagram's like the best way. And I believe my email address is connected to my Instagram profile. So you can just hit the send email button. Do know that if we're not, you know, if we're not friends on Insta, it will go to the like other request bin. So it may take me a minute to see it. And, you know, if and when you do, be a little more forthcoming than hi, because I do tend to just filter that stuff out because I think they're bots. I don't want to be demanding of people. I think if you're just forthcoming and cool, I'll talk to you. Maybe something will happen. Who knows?
And what's your Instagram handle for everyone?
It's at Gina Bloom, JeenaBloom. And you can find me on Twitter and TikTok and all the various socials under that same name. But Instagram is the one I use primarily for communication.
Okay.
So
great. And we'll link to that in the show notes. Anything else that you want to tell our listeners before we sign off?
Yeah, dating's weird. Sex is weird. We all get it. I am by no means anyone who is any different, and I am not famous at all. I'm happy to be booked on things. So just know that we are very much alike, whoever you are out there in the internet land. So the things you're feeling are the same things I'm feeling. So if you reach out, just know that I'm probably thinking the same shit.
Love it. Thanks so much, Gina. This has been a lot of fun for me.
Yeah, me too. Thank you for having me.
A couple more things about Gina. She has this quiet power to her. Her vibe is just super chill. And then when she steps on stage, she really commands attention and crushes with her smart and unpredictable punchlines. Just a wonderful person to know. Please follow me on Instagram at TGICarolyn and follow the pod account to see clips from these interviews and images of the guests at Love's a Pitch. If you want to support queer love and help keep this podcast going, you can go to patreon.com/lovesapitch. There are different tiers, different perks. Also, rate and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify if you can. This podcast is produced and edited by Caitlin White, and the music is by Velico. Thank you for listening. Now I've got to go and break the news to my wife that I want to try sleeping in separate beds. Just kidding, babe.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very... very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.